Let me guess, you're struggling to lead a very challenging team, and your project is probably off the rails, or what we say, basically derailing. But what if the key to success lies in how you adapt your leadership style? And are you really leveraging your team's strength, or are you probably just fighting them with all the resistance? In today's episode, we will be talking about addressing challenging team members when you are leading a project. Do you mind if I share a quick story with you? One of the things of leading projects you have to always understand is the importance of dealing with challenging team members and attacking it fast. See, what ends up happening over time is if you don't address it, if you don't meet it head on, over time it will continue to get worse. And trust me, you don't want that team to deal with when it starts getting challenging. And so what I've always learned to do is when I see an issue, when I see something going on, is to attack it right away. And attacking it to me is talking with that project team member or talking with that stakeholder to find out what is really going on, not the service layer, but what is the root of the actual issue. Point number one, recognize personality types. Now, we know there's so many different personality types. I don't want to get you boxed in into a personality type. I just want you to be cognizant of it, basically aware of these different personality types like introvert, extrovert, analytical, and big picture thinker. Why do I want you not to get boxed in into these personality types? There may be people that when they're in meetings, they're more of an introvert, but when they're around people that they know, they're extroverts. So you have to be able to understand that when you are on meetings. And the best way to do that is when you're on a meeting, find out who's doing a lot of talking. When the person who's doing a lot of talking, okay, we probably could say that this person may be, when it comes to meetings, is an extrovert. However, when it comes to something else, whether it may be sending an email and chiming in, they may be introverts in a way. They may be shy because they may not want to, they don't like that type of attention. So the point I'm trying to make, family, is even though you may identify a personality type using the same example of, hey, this person is in a meeting, they're always talking that they're extrovert. That may not be the case all the time as far as through everything. So you have to constantly be gauging your team as well as the stakeholders. Here's my actionable tip. Use tools like the DISC or the MBTI. These are basically team dynamics and tailored management style to fit each particular personality type. All right, let's move on to point number two. Assign roles that fit natural talents. This is something that, oh man, I gotta be careful here. Forget being careful. The challenge is, family, is so many times I've watched how there are so many misaligned roles and it causes frustration. And most of all, it's really the inefficiency in the team members because they're not happy doing a particular role. And I don't want to just say, oh, you're supposed to be happy about every role that you take. However, it's that they may got pushed to take on a aspect of the project that we know that this person is not strong enough to actually lead in that area. And so how do you ensure that you're making this a natural fit? And sometimes you have to make it uncomfortable for them so you can pull out that natural fit. So my solution has always been ensure tasks align with their capabilities and their interests. See, the key word there is interest. See, when someone is interested, that means that they're curious. When someone is curious, you don't have to go tell them to go do research. You don't have to tell them to be obsessed about something. So here's my actionable tip. Have career development conversations to understand their aspirations and then align them with the project task to their desired growth area. If somebody is saying, hey, I want to be more in a leadership role. Hey, how about you lead this call today? And you alternate to give them that exposure, to give them that opportunity, because again, as we talked about, interest leads to curiosity, leads to research and being obsessed. Okay, point number three, involve them in decision-making. Family, I'm trying to do my best, but I get so frustrated when someone goes and creates a process that's going to impact our team and we're not part of the decision-making process. And decision-making process, in my opinion, is not saying, hey, I don't want to, I'm not trying to come in. Maybe you've done a lot of research and everything, but you didn't talk with the people that are going to actually be using that process. And I see this so much. Somebody will go off in a silo area, create a process that is going to impact another team, but you don't even engage that team to get that feedback. So anytime on a project that I know that I'm, if we're about to change a process or create a new process or whatever that is, or procedure, I'm engaging the team or teams that they're going to impact because I need to understand, hey, where are the gaps at? So challenge team members often resist directive because they feel excluded. Just like the example I gave, there was a process created for our team that I resisted. Okay, let me just, it's just us, right? I resisted it. I didn't do it. And the reason why I didn't do it, because I was like, you didn't even reach out and say, hey, we added an additional step. It wasn't until we needed the process, then you tell us about the new process. And that's another thing. As project managers, we can't just keep like creating these processes and procedures to lead a team and not getting their buy-in. So involve them in a brainstorming sessions or key decisions to gain their buy-in. Just imagine, I don't know why this is, I'm going on a rant about this, but I have to, family, because you're going to be leading a team one day if you're not already. And you're going to be wondering why they're resisting because you went and created this whole plan and you didn't involve them in it. And then they're frustrated because now they have to implement it compared to why wouldn't we just collaborate together on a process or procedure or whatever or artifact or whatever that thing is. So we're all getting to put in our feedback. And yes, there's going to be people that feedback that won't get accounted for, but at least they had an opportunity to voice their opinion. So use structure frameworks like a RACI, responsible, accountable, consulted, informed, to assign responsibility collaboratively. Point number four, address negative behavior promptly. One of the things I struggled with at the beginning of this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, it was addressing negative behavior promptly because I had the mindset at that time where it was like, this person doesn't report into me. They're just part of the team. So I'm not even going to just go back and forth with them. But then I realized, again, mentorship is key, how it was important to address that behavior right away, because if you don't, now it continues to build up and it could be something as small or little and then it explodes. So ignoring toxic behavior can create resentment among team members and also derail your project. Here's my actionable tip. Use specific examples of the behavior, explain the impact on the team, and outline clear expectations moving forward. I always say a lack of clear expectation leads to frustration. So again, address this issue. When you identify negative behavior, address it head on. Be respectful, but be firm in your decision of addressing it right away. Point number five, build trust through one-on-one meetings. This is my secret sauce. People ask me, how did you get such and such to join the meeting? I build relationships in one-on-one meetings. I reach out to say, hey, how was your day? And I'm genuine, really want to know, how was your day? How was your Christmas break? So meeting individually with someone, you will learn more about them. They feel more comfortable because it's not an entire team there on the call. And plus, you can uncover their motivation, most of all, their frustration, and what is the barrier for their performance. Here's my actionable tip. Ask open-ended questions like, what would help you contribute more effectively? See, this forces them to not answer with a yes or no or one single word answer. And my next one is document actionable next steps from the conversation. This is why when I was talking about leadership, when it came to meeting with your manager, I always say document the conversation, and it's not a documentation to say, hey, I'm trying to show you that you said this on this certain day. No, you want to be able to document that in which you can you leverage for your performance appraisal. Or if there is a disconnect between you and your manager, that you can say, hey, this is the information that we discussed. I documented it. This was 2 months ago. If it's something changed, no problem. But this is what we discussed. Remember what I talked about? A lack of expectations comes a lot of frustration. All right, let's move to point number six. Establish clear expectations. That's one of my favorite words here. Define roles, responsibilities, and deliverables at the start of the project. What happens a lot of times is when we don't define these deliverables or responsibilities, everybody is everywhere. And you start, as they say in the project, and I just created this, but we've heard it, stepping on people's toes in a sense and people feeling like you're trying to take their position or trying to take their job. So we need to clearly communicate how each team member's contribution impacts the overall success of the project to ensure alignment and, most of all, accountability. Here's my actionable tip. Create a project charter, create a project plan, create a team agreement outlining expectations. Then revisit this during regular meetings to reinforce understanding. Point number seven, create a safe space for feedback, what I like to call transparency. If I can't be transparent with you on the team, if I can't give you feedback on the team, we're not going to have the success that we probably could have because I'm nervous that I may hurt your feelings or vice versa. You may feel like you may, but if I'm being professional, I'm not trying to attack you. Let me say this too. A lot of times when we're giving feedback as project manager, sometimes people feel that we are attacking them. We're not attacking you. We are attacking the work. We are challenging the work, not the individual. Let me say that again. We are challenging the work, not the individual. You are attached to it, yes. However, what we're trying to do is ensure that this is a safe space, because if not, we won't be able to have the success that's required and that's needed of us. So allow team members, including your challenging ones, to voice their concerns and frustration without fear, judgment, or retaliation. There may be some tough conversations that you're going to have. One of my favorite books I recommend is called Crucial Conversation. This book really allows you to, and I'll go back and revisit it from time to time if I'm having some challenges with project team members or stakeholders, to see how should I address this particular conversation if I've used kind of some of the things that's already in my toolbox. Here's my actionable tip. Use anonymous surveys or dedicated feedback sessions to encourage open communication. Point number eight, maintain consistent documentation. The motto here, documentation always beats what? Documentation always beats conversation. So document all interactions, agreements, feedback with these challenging team members. Because you see, what you want to do is you want to ensure that you are holding them accountable and that there's no misunderstanding. This is clear as day. We have an agreement. We have an understanding. So there shouldn't be any misunderstanding. Here's my actionable tip. Use project management software to track conversation and task assignments for full transparency. And my bonus today, which is so important, is to know when to escalate. Despite best efforts, maybe you've done everything you potentially can do, some situations require escalation to higher management or HR. Most of the time, it's going to go to your higher manager. Now, there have had incidents where it did go to HR, but recognize when a behavior crosses a line and take the appropriate action. Here's my actionable tip. Escalate the issue with a detailed report of the problem. What action did you take, Mr. and Mr. Project Manager? And what was the recommendations for the resolution? Family, I hope you're really enjoying today's episode. I have my three transformational recommendations, and I will let you be on your way. Number one, involve them in a decision-making. I don't know why more project managers don't do this. I don't know if it's a control thing that we have or what, but every time I'm involved the project team or stakeholder in a decision-making, I got their buy-in more often than when I just push them something and say, hey, this is what it is, and this is what we're going to have to do. Have there been cases that we couldn't do that? Of course. But I'm talking about on situations where we're about to change the way that they work. We're about to introduce a product or software, whatever that thing is, or service. I want them in the decision-making process with me, so we're all aligned. Number two, build trust through one-on-one meetings. Like I said, this is my secret sauce. If you stayed this long, you got to hear the secret sauce. Asking open-ended questions like, what will help you to contribute more effectively? And my last and final one, which is one of my favorites, is know when to escalate. When you are escalating a problem or an issue, make sure that you've done your proper due diligence. What does that look like? One, that you went to attempt to solve the problem yourself. Two, what actions did you take in solving the problem? And number three, did you document the recommended solutions before you go ahead and escalate? Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.